波波雙角魚片28.9有兩包，波波潮州小白魚蛋19.9有兩包，日本培煎芝麻醬35.9有兩支，日本成田煙魚汁32元有兩支，日清純正麻油23.8有兩支。
Welcome to Atomic Heart, a weekly showcase of indie sound and poetry created with a Hong Kong Canadian edge. At least that's what it normally is. I'm Adam Alicia, broadcasting from just north of Toronto on CFMS 105.9 FM The Region. I want to do things a little differently today.I want to share with you a music feature I made 11 years ago. The idea came to me the other day when I was having coffee at Haven Brews, a cafe in North York opened by Hong Kongers. I was there on Easter Monday, April 1st to be exact.And while I was there, the staff at the cafe were playing vinyl records of Leslie Cheung. Leslie is a Hong Kong icon, a very successful singer and a world-renowned actor. He died from suicide on April 1st, 2003. And so on Monday, the cafe was commemorating the 21st anniversary of his death by playing tribute.To him, they did that by playing his music. And I thought I'd do the same today here on Atomic Heart, but I don't have any vinyls to play. I'm actually not gonna play a lot of music neither. Instead, I wanna share with you a music feature I made 11 years ago, a feature that commemorated10 years after Leslie's death. So this was back in 2013 I made this, when in Hong Kong there was an event organized by a fan club of Leslie's, and they wanted to fold paper cranes, or they wanted to break the world record of paper cranes folded in one place, and I wanted it to display it in a mall in Hong Kong, and I was sort of covering the event. And I made this feature, I did these interviews while I was working for RTHK in Hong Kong. The feature is pretty long, and I made it in my very early days of working in radio. It's far from perfect.You'll hear all kinds of volume issues and mic popping and this and that, but it was a very worthwhile project, and I'm glad I did it. And this feature was presented in two parts, originally aired on RTHK Radio 3, which is the English channel of Hong Kong's broadcasting service. This project was my initiative, and I was very new to radio at the time, as I mentioned. And being able to share this with you right now, I think will be kind of meaningful. And if you happen to be feeling nostalgic for Leslie this past week, you just might enjoy this little detour. It contains plenty of music, plus interviews I did with fans, both local and international, and I also spoke to a few cantopop singers who made their name in the 80s. So, without much further ado, here's a tribute to Leslie Cheung, produced and narrated by a much younger version of yours truly.He was one of the most charismatic talents from our city and the most beloved recording and motion picture artist of our time. There's something about Leslie Cheung that makes us think we know him, that we can relate to him, especially those of us who witnessed his rise to fame in the 1980s in Hong Kong. Most of us remember exactly where we were and how we felt the moment we learned the news of his suicide on the 1st of April in 2003. In this special presentation, marking the 10th anniversary of his death, we revisit Leslie's music and his achievements, and we get insight into the character from his friends and fans. I'm Adam Jung, paying tribute as we walk down the memory lane in remembering Leslie.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember it, how the music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'll be happy for a while.
We pick up the story from 1977, when Leslie performed Don McLean's American Pie at the second Asia Amateur Singing Contest held by Red Diffusion Television in Hong Kong. Brenda Lowe is a renowned radio DJ both in Hong Kong and overseas, and she actually auditioned Leslie in the singing contest 36 years ago and was the one to call him up when he finished as one of the finalists.
At the time, Leslie was only 17 years old. He just came back from England, very, very young and fresh and handsome young guy. And then he entered this contest. I was one of the production assistants helping Choi Wo-ping, the founder of Enjoy Yourself Tonight, and also with Michael Lai. We were on the panel of judges for the first audition, of course. And then finally, Leslie became one of the 10 contestants. And being a PA, I have to do everything. So I am the one to call up all the 10 contestants to give them the good news. And apparently he was very happy with that. And later on in his life, he went on to one of the shows after he became a very major mega superstar, and in which he mentioned about this episode, and he mentioned my name.
I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked for her some happy news. She just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store, but I heard the music years before, but the vendor said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets, the children scream, the lovers cry, and the poets dream.
And then Leslie has his very rough path in the beginning at RTV. Doing dramas and also movies. He's not very happy. He was not very happy with it. And obviously, he needed a very good business manager and some luck. And actually, he did have a manager. But at the time, Danny Chan always overshadowed him. So he was not happy and thought that he should have more, right? He deserved more. So afterwards, he joined several record labels like Capital Artists and then Polydor at the time. Not even Polygram or Universal. It was called Polydor. But not until he came on to Capital Artists and met some good people like Michael Lai and Florence Chan that they became his mentor and laid down a path for him that later on he could do his own thing. He could just concentrate on being a superstar and on his stage check and everything.
And in addition to seeing Leslie's singing career take flight, Brenda also recalls taking part in some of Leslie's earlier movies.
He was always nice, but very quiet. He is not a loud person. He was always gentle and knew what he had to do. So he kind of stayed out of the spotlight when the people are not working, when he's not on screen. See, and he would just wait on the side and think about how he should act. And of course, the acting later on was so good and bloomed for some 20 years.
The mid to late 80s saw Leslie rise to fame with his fresh and energetic delivery of Cantonese pop, though he was still in contention for pop supremacy with the likes of Alan Tam and Danny Chan. John Woo is the host of a late-night music program on RTHK, and he recalls his time working with Leslie in Capitol Artists.
I was his backing vocals for his concert in 1989, I think. I remember at the last rehearsal in the venue, he asked us what we will be wearing. But when he found out that the organizer only provided us with a tie, he at once pulled out money from his wallet. And then we got a suit as uniform for the show. I once recorded with him as backing vocal for his album Songs. Although he could not read music, he also joined us as backing vocals for that song. We just sent to him once about his line, and he memorized it and sent the line perfectly right. I think he had struggled for a long time to reach the top, so he reminded us that if we were hard, then we could achieve the goal. So that's why he held so dearly in the heart of Hong Kong people after all these years.
And as we all know, the late 80s were marked by waves of mass migrations from Hong Kong. It was also this time that Leslie took a retreat from his singing career. There was a period in the early 90s when he resided in Canada.
One of my favorite moments with him was when I migrated to Vancouver. He was living there at the same time too. Remember, there had been like 3 years that he migrated to Vancouver, and then he went back and did movies, which was great for the fans. So those 3 years, he was there, and I had the pleasure and honor of visiting him because he was always so nice, always a friend. I remember I went up there to the big house, nice, you know, with a great view, and I was knocking at the door or rang a bell, I don't remember. And then I heard some dogs barking. And then when he opened the door, I saw these two big, cute German shepherds. I love dogs. The dogs love me. I'm not scared of them. These two big, big German shepherds. And Leslie was so funny. He was so naughty. And he go like, and he said, attack. Of course, the dogs did not attack. Those were just puppies, only in a very large size. And so they didn't at all. They wagged the tail and came, and we had a great fun playing with the German shepherds. And so he was kind of, well, playfully, he pretended that he was pissed off because those dogs, and he goes like, oh, sailor! Because the dogs did not obey him at all, didn't play the trick at all. So that was one of the funny story I remember. Laura.
There's a whole series of activities to commemorate the 10th anniversary of Leslie's passing. Fans from all over the world have taken part in folding paper cranes, dedicated to their idol, with the goal of setting a new world record for the greatest number of collected paper cranes. Janice Chow is the coordinator of this massive project. She was also an active member of Leslie's fan club in the 1980s. She remembers her first face-to-face encounter with Leslie at the Hong Kong Coliseum. The year was 1985.
this part of memory came back to me. I remember when I went to see his concert in 1985, yeah, which was a long time ago, there was this episode. I remember towards the end of the concert, before he got the chance to walk to backstage, I quickly ran towards him. I was not sitting in the front.
Right.
I was kind of at the upper level. So quickly, before he got a chance to leave the stage, I quickly rushed down, trying to get closer to him. I yelled out, "Leslie!" And he looked at me, looked towards my direction, and he waved to me. So he was smiling very, you know, happily because he finished his concert that night. He looked up to me and, you know, just waved to me very excitedly. I guess that's nice.
Yeah.
He waved to me.
I like that piece of memories. There's something very poetic about it.
Yeah, it's kind of romantic too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even though you didn't have a conversation, but he responded to you.
Yes,
right?
and the smile and the way he smiled very heartily. Yeah, the image is still in my mind. When I watched his concert in 1997 and in 2000, I got a chance to shake his hands, but somehow I just sat there. I couldn't move. Even my friends, she kind of, what's that, how to say?
Ask you, hey, come, he's coming.
Yeah, but somehow I don't know, I just didn't, I couldn't move myself. Even though I see him come towards me. Yeah, I was in the front actually, a few rows back from him. But when I saw him come, I just couldn't move. I don't know why.
I missed the chance to get even closer to him. But that's okay, because at that moment you couldn't do anything. You were so like shocked, or yeah, you were frozen. Your idol meeting, like being so close to your idol, you didn't know what to do. Like you didn't know how to respond.
Yeah, that's strange. Everybody. Yeah, I know that some fans that had that type of reaction.
I have heard that before too,
yes,
from other people.
Yes, but I couldn't explain why afterwards. Why I just couldn't, you know, rush towards him and try to shake his hands or whatever. Yeah, I have my eyes fixated on him, even though I couldn't move. Yeah, I didn't move at all. I didn't just sat there. But I know that my eyes just, you know, I just fixed on him.
I'm sure Jinis' story is shared by many people, especially young women back then in their teens and 20s, mesmerized by Leslie's style and presence. I don't know what it's like to be in a fan club and to retain such a deep, singular devotion to an artist, and I guess it's a feeling that's perhaps difficult to explain.
I always ask myself, do I really like him that much? Do I really? Is it because of the nostalgia, the because of the memory that I have about with him with me throughout the years that I still continue my support for him, or is it because I do really like this person, respect this person? Over and again, I ask this question, and I still find that I'm positive about it. So I think I do really like this person.
自制自我在每日怨天怨地 为想得到你愿竭力以心献计想你但愿你暗街等 也在想你，但却在暗示结局甚迷离。
I keep my mind open to his strengths and weaknesses as well.
Of course.
So, but I, as since I am impressed with his strengths, yeah, I can accept his weaknesses.
Okay.
So I try not to make him a god. You know, he's not my faith.
Yeah, of course.
I just like him as a kind person.
Right, like it's respect. It's not just it's not idol worshiping.
It's a kind of respect. Yes, I'm old enough not to do that.
So that was the first half of the radio feature Remembering Leslie, originally aired back in 2013 on RTHK Radio 3. You're listening to Atomic Heart. I'm your host, Adam Alicia, broadcasting on CFMS 105.9 The Region here in Toronto, Canada. We're gonna ride this band music to halftime. In the second half, I'll be back with, well, the second half of this radio feature, so don't go away.
Three, two, one. Hey, everybody, this is Paul Gilbert.
Hi, this is Pat Torpey.
Hello, this is Eric Martin.
My name is Billy Sheehan, and we are
Mr. Big.
You're listening to us right here on Atomic Heart. Cool.
So you heard me talking to three different people in that first half of the feature. One of them is Janice Chow, who was the president of the Leslie Cheung fan club in Hong Kong. I haven't been in touch with her for many years, so I'm not sure if she's still in Hong Kong and whether she's still president of the fan club. I just remember she was very excited to do that interview, and I really love that moment she had with Leslie, that little exchange that she mentioned, you know, watching his concert at the Hong Hum Coliseum. Back then it was called that, the Hong Hum Coliseum. She was there watching Leslie's concert, and somehow she had that little exchange with Leslie, and to her that was very memorable. So my thanks to Janice for her contribution to this feature. We also heard from John Woo, a recording artist himself. And at the time when I reached out to him, he was very kind, by the way, very open to doing the interview. At the time, he was hosting a late night music show on RTHK. And one thing that really impressed me about John's radio presenting style was he was very engaging. He had a very comfortable, very comforting voice. And I remember when he's on the air, he kind of spoke with his whole body. He, you know, like very animated behind the mic, even though he's on the air. He's not on TV or anything. And that really left an impression. And then there was Brenda Lowe, the first voice you heard on the feature that wasn't mine. She was very enthusiastic about this project. And of course, because she knew Leslie very well, you heard her speaking about their days in Canada. And it's one thing that we often forget, that there was a time that Leslie was living in Canada. I believe he was in Vancouver. I don't remember how I managed to link up with Brenda, but yeah, definitely I'm very thankful for her contribution to this project. It's funny because, like I said, this feature was made 11 years ago. Last year marked the 20th anniversary of Leslie's death, and of course, 10 years after I made this feature. And it kind of occurred to me that after I made the feature, I never sent the audio back to Brenda. So I did that on April 1st of last year, just to say, hey, thanks for helping out with this project. Oh yeah, I never sent this audio back to you. Here, have a listen. And she emailed me back. She was ecstatic. Of course, she remembered doing it and was just very happy to hear that I had put this together and that, you know, 20 years later, we are, I mean, not only remembering Leslie, but in the sense that this artist, though he's not here anymore, has a way of bringing us together, bringing people together, sort of forming a community. So with me and Brenda, for example, of course, I know who she is. She was a singer herself in the early 80s, and I still listen to her on the radio a lot. But it was through this project, through Leslie and sort of our love for his music that brought us together. And even to this day, I have never met Brenda face to face. But I would say, you know, we are friends. Now, I'm about to share with you part two of this feature. You're going to hear from another member of the Leslie fan club and also a Hong Kong singer who herself is pretty famous, so stay tuned. Here I give you part two of Remembering Leslie. It's common to see fans from all over the world fly into Hong Kong in this commemorative season to pay tribute to their favorite star. Marie Jones flew in all the way from North Carolina to put in her efforts for the Paper Crane project. And it was very interesting to hear how she first discovered Leslie.
I just literally stumbled across Farewell My Concubine and discovered Leslie in that movie. And shortly after, because I was so impressed with his role in the movie, I said, I have to find out more about this actor. Googled him, discovered that, oh my gosh, not only is he an actor and here is the list of his films, he's also this seminal singer for Hong Kong in the 80s and 90s, and I never heard of Cantopop, knew nothing about what the music sounded like. So I go to YouTube, you know, type him in, discover something called The Passion Tour. I said, that looks good. Let's start watching that. And so for three nights running, I was up till all hours of the night watching, you know, the old days of YouTube, when it's the little tiny screen, very low definition. I love this guy. Look at those costumes. Look at that stage show. Listen to that music. He is so good. Look at him deliver a song. And I was most impressed that from all the people I talked to, it was Marie, the American fan who's able to place Leslie's significance in relation to our collective experience as Hong Kong people. I've become more conscious in the last few months, thinking about some of the cultural ferment that's going on right now about Cantonese identity and Hong Kong, specific Hong Kong identity, especially in the entertainment industry and in the film industry. What an important role Leslie played in defining a certain moment of time for Hong Kong culture as an actor and as a singer. That in the 80s and 90s, he was such a revolutionary figure in music, and then in film, he worked with most of what we now think of as the classic directors, the classic films from that golden era of Hong Kong film. And now that there's this sense that people in Hong Kong feel that they're giving, somehow they've lost something, that by going so much to mainland and the co-productions and the focus on the mainland, that there isn't as much sense now of what makes us, the people in Hong Kong, distinctively Hong Kong, that they have a different kind of history, somewhat different cultural traditions, and Leslie embodied that so beautifully. And so for me, looking in at on the outside as a non-Chinese, non-Hong Kong, I can see that he really encapsulates and crystallizes some of those qualities that people are now looking back to and saying, how can we get something equivalent in our own time that reflects who we are now in time in this place, like happened back in the 80s and 90s with figures like Leslie Cheung. One of the first people I wanted to talk to about Leslie was Elisa Chan. It's well known that she collaborated with Leslie in the 80s on two very classic songs, but Elisa also told me about a time Leslie asked her to sing a song he had composed for one of his first films.
It was the first time he coached me how to do a song, and I realized that he could really bring the best out of me. And I was kidding with him. I said, I never thought that you would be my producer. And at first, when I stepped into the studio, I was sort of like, don't know how to accept his guidance. But during the recording session, he really showed me the other side of him, that he was really observant. And when I listened back to the song, I sort of like had a really higher respect for him. He had a lot of other things that I couldn't see before. That was one great experience. Darling, I want you, naked but deep. Yet, let's see for ting. We hunt, hunt, turn more, see you, see. Turn, go, see you, ying, my. You need it, ting, deep. Mug, mug, hum, fung.
We see him in movies, we listen to his music. What kind of person is Leslie?
Actually, he's very, very friendly, of course. He cares about a lot of his friends. Very observant. And I must say, he's very kiddish also. Very, very cute. And among friends, he's very carefree. When he was with us, like, you will feel that he's like a superstar or something. He was just part of us, and we always joked around, and we always do silly things, and he was just like a boy. Of course, he was a very genuine guy, but as a person, but also as an artist, he's also very genuine. That's why he could survive on the stage for so long. That was not luck. That was not pure luck. That was not because he was handsome. That was because he was a true artist. He knew all the politics and everything what was involved around it. He was a dreamer, but he could use his talents to collaborate with his dreams. That's why he was successful. Of what happened to him as an artist, as a very successful artist, and how he chose to face the very serious matters in his own world, that is real. It's something that is so real on stage and off stage. And when I look into what he had gone through, I would use that as like a wisdom, a path to how to look at our own lives and how to influence the world musically and as a person. That is something so true and so real. That's not limelight. That is life.
Life. 你逗留我思潮上，从没再疑问，这个世界好得很。能同途偶遇在这星球上，是某种缘分，我多么庆幸。如离别你亦长处生命上，宁愿有遗憾，亦愿和你远亦近。
The world is a wonderful place, and how we should treasure it is to learn more, keep on learning, and don't give up, and to appreciate what we have, but don't cling on to what we have, because there are a lot more to come in the future. So don't look back, look ahead, but then the most important thing is to treasure what we have.Every minute. That is, I think if Leslie will be here this day, he will say the same thing.
谁亦能喝一喝，一张嘴，一副面容差不多，但别要选出色一个，耗尽气力去不可。怀内能躲一躲，力度与温度差不多。唯独你双手握得碎我，但我享受这折磨。
What I've come to realize in the process of putting this presentation together is that I have a deep respect for Leslie, the artist, and an unexplainable affinity to him.For I guess I cherish very fondly the sights and sounds from the Hong Kong 80s. I despise the commercial media's tacky, gossipy reports on Leslie's story, yet I never wanted any part of the fanfare, never wanted the whole fan versus idol relationship. There has to be more than the passive remembrance and losing ourselves in the music and the movies. I just think there has to be more.
心计，信念也都枯萎，怪我过分着迷，换来爱过你那各样后遗。一想起你如此精细，其他的一切没一种矜贵，怪你过分美丽。蛇狠狠箍紧彼此关系，仿佛心力无穷无底，终于花光心计，信念也都枯萎。怪我过分着迷，换来爱过你那各样后遗。一想起你如此精细，其他的一切没一种矜贵。
And the more I reflect, the more I strive to take something from Leslie's greatness. He really was extraordinary, as Brenda Lowe puts it.
I really do not think I need to talk about why Leslie was so loved and so remembered and so special and such an icon and such a character. I think only once in maybe 30 years that we came across someone like that, like Bruce Lee.Like James Dean, somebody like that, so charismatic. I think in the very early years when he was suffering from not such a good, smooth path of with his career, I think there and then he decided that he has to be nice to people because probably people had not been nice to him. I really think so. That's why even to maybe the Ajie,an armor or a carpenter or a driver or somebody on the street selling things. He's just nice to everyone. That's it. You know, sometimes people can be very famous and very talented, and yet their character can be very hostile. And on stage, they can be loved by all. But once down the stage, everybody was scared of him or her, right? We have known such people, but not Leslie, no. He is just as nice as good and shining, like I said, inside and out. So, well, that is why. That is why everybody loved him and remembered him for years and years to come.
人生是醉醉白云里共你一起多么美呼吸性 As the mainstream culture is teaching us to fear and molding us to become like everyone else, Leslie reminds us that we each have our own story and legacy to write. If we embrace ourselves and just dream with passion, precision, and defiance, we will break through. That's the attitude. And I think the best way to remember Leslie is to live the attitude. So there you have it, the entirety of that radio feature, Remembering Leslie, produced and initiated by a much younger version of yours truly, me, in radio. That was 2013. It was just a year, no, actually 2 years after I got into RTHK. The first year I was there as a freelancer, and it was in 2012 that I started there working full-time as a sports reporter, if you can believe it. Yeah, I was a sports reporter for RTHK. But because of my interest in music and the arts, I also made a lot of features for them with artists and other sort of cultural events. Whew, a blast from the past. Definitely, this has been a walk down the memory lane. So in that second part of the feature, we heard from Marie, who is a huge fan of Leslie, as you heard there. What I appreciate about her contribution is that she's very articulate about not only her appreciation of the singer, but sort of Leslie's impact on Hong Kong and how he was able to appeal to the rest of the world, you know? Like his... A lot of people outside of Hong Kong have seen his movies and they recognize him as an actor. But unless you're from Hong Kong, you may not know that he also had a long singing career before he made it big in the movies that are screened internationally. And of course, there was Eliza Chan, Chan Kit Ling. We did that interview over the phone. I was actually talking to her from the RTHK recording studio, and we talked for a long time. Like, what you heard in that feature was just like a quarter of our whole conversation. She was very sociable, and we talked a lot about not only about Leslie, but sort of about Hong Kong's music scene as well. Eliza, of course, was a very important guest for this project because she is famously known for having sang two very well-known songs with Leslie back in the 80s. I also want to mention Uncle Ray. This feature was actually aired on his evening music show, All the Way with Ray. And some of you may know that Uncle Ray holds the Guinness World Record for the longest-serving radio DJ in the world. Uncle Ray died a few years ago. He was in his 90s.
and I had the honor of being in the studio with Uncle Ray during his very last show with RTHK. It was during the pandemic, and so our access to the studio was very limited, and I was one of very few people who was allowed into the studio to watch him do his final show. So yeah, somehow Uncle Ray found out that I was working on this project, and he just told me that he really wanted it on his show. He wanted that to be aired on his show, and he actually ran it twice. I really miss Uncle Ray. I remember when I first started in RTHK as a freelancer, I was cutting clips for them for their weekend programs. And back then, I was still working as an English teacher in the evenings, and I would get off work in Kuntong and just hop on a taxi to Broadcast Drive to RTHK's broadcast house in Kowloon Tong. And I would get there around 11, almost midnight, and I'd be cutting clips. And around midnight, Uncle Ray would come up to the second floor to get a drink and just take a break from doing the show. That was sort of his break, because that was when the extended version of the news was on. And we would talk a little. And back then, he was still able to walk up and down those steps in the old RTHK building. So yeah, it's quite miraculous, isn't it, that an artist like Leslie has brought a lot of people together. And I'm sure those of you listening now have your own stories of how you remember Leslie. So that's all we have for this edition of Atomic Heart. And I'll be honest with you, I hadn't planned to play the feature today. I mean, if I had really wanted to do something for Leslie, I would have done it last week, right? I think it might have been better last week, because last Saturday was sort of the day before April 1st, or 2 days before. The truth is, I had a technical issue. My music player stopped functioning and I couldn't play songs. This happened just less than an hour before I came in to do the show. So I couldn't play songs. So with just a few minutes before doing the show, I'm thinking, oh gosh, what should I do? Then I thought of the feature and I thought, okay, it's still okay. It's, you know, first week of April. And yeah, I just thought I would use this airtime, or fill up this airtime, with a bit of Leslie. So there you go, totally unscripted. Thinking on my feet, I guess. If you have any questions or comments about this episode or whatever concerning the show, you can just send me an email. The address is Adam, ATOM, at atomicheart.fm. Hopefully, I'll bring you a more regular show next week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next week. Bye.